you want to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 31, we'll be there this morning for a little bit. Before we get into reading and the sermon, I want to play a game. I like games. Let's see. Who can I get to do this? Morgan. Yeah. Morgan. Yeah. Let's get Morgan up right here. Let's see. Who else can we get from this side? Michael. Let's do Michael. Michael. Let's get you front and center. We're going to have, it's just a game. I'll just ask you a question. Whoever gets it right gets a prize. See what we got for prizes. Candy. All right, here we go. This is how we'll do it. I'll ask a question. If you have the answer, say your name. So the first person I hear say their name, you get to answer the question and you get the prize. Okay, you got it? Everyone, and y'all help me judge, okay? Now, this is not just, you know, to see if you can be him or you can be... This is also bragging rights. You're representing this side of the auditorium. And you're representing this side of the auditorium. All right. And if they get stumped, you can help. Okay? All right. All right, ready? All right. Here we go. First question is easy one. All right, ready? All right, here we go. Who built... the ark. Michael said, he said his name first. Okay. You thought he answered, Michael. Y'all better start coming to Bible class. All right, here we go. Who built the ark? Noah. Hey, this side gets 1 point. Here we go. All right. Here we go. Who led... Israel out of East Side Columbus. Go ahead. Okay, out of Moses led the Israelites out of East Side of Columbus. All right, very good. I was going to say Egypt. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Who led Israel in the Battle of Jericho? Michael? Joshua. Oh, this side, you got to... All right, here we go. Who built the temple in the Old Testament? Crickets. Morgan. Solomon. All right, very good. All right, all right. Yeah. All right. This is the last question, and this one is worth a whopping $5. This one is worth $5. All right, ready? Here we go. Who led the building of the tabernacle in the Old Testament? Two names. Go ahead. Hey, here's a hint, guys. Tell your people to read their bulletins. All right, go ahead. Any day now. Morgan. All right. Oh, halal, blah, blah. Okay, very good. All right. All right, you get the five. But you get a five, too, for Kenna. All right, go to your seats. All right. All right, that worked out just as I planned it. I confess, the last two names, which you can find on the front of your bulletins, and we'll read about in just a second in Exodus 31, Bezalel and Oholiab, these aren't among the two most famous names in our Bibles. Now, among the thousands of names in our Bibles, these two don't get a lot of play. The others, Moses and David and even Noah, they find their play even into our 21st century. I have two nephews, one named Moses and one named Joshua. These are common names. But when you go to school, you're not apt to find a lot of kids named Oholiab or Bezalel. I'm not sure. Anyone here go to school with Oho? Or as Morgan put it, Oholablablab. They don't make their way into popular names. But when it comes to Bezalel and Oholiab, their story might be told only in passing, but they play two of the most crucial roles in our Old Testament history. So let's read the story together in Exodus chapter 31, starting at verse number 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you: the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table and its articles, the pure gold lampstand and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, and also the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil and fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I commanded you." The tabernacle, or the tent of meeting, was a portable structure. It needed to be constructed so that it could be readily taken down, moved from place to place, and erected at will. And it was especially adapted to the needs of a nomadic people like the Israelites as they were traveling through the wilderness. It was constructed using precise geometrical and scientific principles so it could readily lend itself to a practical system of removal and erection, which was essential to the life of the Israelite people. The tabernacle consisted of a rectangle called the court, in the rear half of which was the tent of or covering of the sanctuary. Under this tent, the holy and most holy places were defined by a partition, securely joined by means of rods and rings. The biblical record is full of details of this entire structure, so much so people throughout centuries have constructed exact models of this tent of meeting or this tabernacle. One author declares, "It reveals an architectural gem, masterfully conceived, beautifully designed, mystically embellished, celestially canopied, and inspiring the beholder with profound reverence and peaceful security in the thought of an ever-present and indwelling God, and typifying the encampment of the angels of the Lord around about them that fear him." In short, church, the tabernacle was a beautiful place. It is the beauty of the tabernacle that probably inspired a quest for beauty in the building of the temple built by Solomon. It is a beauty that actually inspires many churches today to beautify their buildings, adorning them with stained glass and masterful artistry. The tabernacle represented not only beauty, but the awesome, powerful presence of God. It represented that God was in the midst of the Israelites, and wherever the Israelites went, God was with them. Now, who would you entrust to be in charge of the construction and design of this magnificent structure? Wouldn't you entrust Moses, who was, in fact, the leader of all of Israel at the time? Might you entrust his brother Aaron, who was the high priest, or one of his sons? Might you entrust some of the elders and or some other significant figure in Israel? What God did with the tabernacle is stunning and also a precedent of what he has done and continues to do in the church. He identifies those who have skills. He fills them with his spirit and he chooses them to work for his benefit. So in this case, Bezalel and Oholiab are those who have great skill in craftsmanship and art. They know their stuff when it comes to art. They know their stuff when it comes to making beautiful places. Everyone would just be calm.
We're going to so that we have some room for people to come in and help Ruth Ann. Let's go down to the fellowship hall and let's have some special prayer for what's going on. So if everybody could just let the people who need to work with her and just move down to the fellowship hall, and let's get together and have a special and have prayer for what's happening right now. Thank you.
Mostly everyone's in here, so we're just gonna wrap up. We've got kids over in Children's Church, and so we're gonna not be in here too much longer. I do just want to continue to ask, you know, obviously the obvious, which is pray for Ruth Ann, but also. You know, her granddaughter Taylor was here, and those of you who know everything that's going on with them, you know, Taylor lost her brother a few years ago, lost her grandfather not too long after that. So this has to be extremely frightening for her and her friends. So remember to pray for Taylor. They're headed over to the hospital. Taylor's mother and her brother and Ruth Ann's other son, Mike, has been called, so they're on their way to the hospital. They're going to be okay. So obviously, this is a time for us to be praying for her. And also, it just brings up the fact that right now we've got some loved ones who are sick and hurting. You know, we've got Gloria in the hospital who is still struggling with that stroke and the symptoms of that stroke. We've got, you know, my brother Rick is going in for surgery in a couple of days. If there was ever a time for us to get on our knees and to interact in intercessory prayer for our brothers and sisters, this is the time. We're not just going to go through the motions. I'm not just going to get back up and continue the sermon because that would be just going through the motions. I'm going to make a call for prayer. I'm going to make a call for prayer. We need to be praying today. We need to be praying all this week. We need to be on the phone praying with each other. This is a call to prayer. Maybe this is our wake-up call from God to pray. I don't want to take advantage of this situation, but I do want to make a call for prayer.